Hoggle golly Europe, he said. They are, Binip. You gents want a paper?
It seemed to Mr. Pin that the last sentence, while in pretty much the same voice, had an intrusive not-quite-right quality. Apart from anything else, it made sense.
You got some change, he said to Mr. Tulip, patting his pockets.
You're gonna buy one, said his partner.
There's a time and a place, Mr. Tulip, a time and a place. Here you are, mister.
Millennium and shrimp, bagger it, said Ron, adding, much obliged, gents.
Mr. Pin opened the Times. This thing has got... He stopped and looked closer.
Have you seen this dog? He said.
Sheesh!
He stared at Ron.
You sell lots of these things, he said.
Quadle of slops, I told him.
Yeah, hundreds.
There it was again, the slight sensation of two voices.
Hundreds, said Mr. Pin.
He looked down at the paper seller's dog. It looked pretty much like the one in the paper, but all terriers looked alike. Anyway, this one was on a string.
Hundreds, he said again, and read the short article again.
He stared.
I think we have a plan B, he said.
At ground level, the newspaper seller's dog watched them carefully as they walked away.
That was too close to comfort, it said, when they turned the corner.
Foul old Ron put down his papers in a puddle and pulled a cold sausage from the depths of his hulking coat. He broke it into three equal pieces. The Ankh-Morpork Times. The truth shall make ye Fred. Extra. Have you seen this dog? $25 reward for information. William had dithered over that, but the watch had supplied quite a good drawing, and he felt right now that a little friendly gesture in that direction would be a good idea. If he found himself in deep trouble head downwards, he'd need someone to pull him out. He had rewritten the patrician story too, adding as much as he was certain of, and there wasn't much of that. He was, frankly, stuck. Saccharissa had penned a story about the opening of the Enquirer. William had hesitated about this too, but it was news after all. They couldn't just ignore it, and it filled them space. Besides, he liked the opening line, which began, "A would-be rival to Ankh-Morpork's old established newspaper, The Times, has opened in Gleam Street."
"You're getting good at this," he said, looking across the desk.
"Yes," she said. "Now I know that if I see a naked man, I should definitely get his name and address, because..." William joined in the chorus, "Names sell papers." He sat back and drank the really horrible tea the dwarfs made. Just for a moment there was an unusual feeling of bliss. Strange word, he thought. It's one of those words that describes something that does not make a noise, but if it did make a noise, would sound just like that. Bliss. It's like the sound of a soft meringue melting gently on a warm plate. Here and now he was free. The paper was put to bed, tucked up, had its prayers listened to. It was finished. The crew were already filing back in for more copies, cursing and spitting. They'd commandeered a variety of old trolleys and prams to cart their papers out into the streets. Of course, in an hour or so, the mouth of the press would be hungry again, and he'd be back pushing the huge rock uphill, just like that character in mythology. What was his name? Who was that hero who was condemned to push a rock up a hill, and every time he got it to the top, it rolled down again, he said. Saccharissa didn't look up.
"Someone who needed a wheelbarrow," she said, spiking a piece of paper with some force.
William recognised the voice of someone who still has an annoying job to do.
"What are you working on?" he said.
"A report from the Ankh-Morpork Recovering Accordion Players Society," she said, scribbling fast.
"Is there something wrong with it?"
"Yes, the punctuation. There isn't any. I think we might have to order an extra box of commas."
"Why are you bothering with it, then?"
26 people are mentioned by name.
"As accordionists?"
"Yes.
Won't they complain?"
"They didn't have to play the accordion.
Oh, and there was a big crash on Broadway. A cart overturned and several tons of flour fell onto the road, causing a couple of horses to rear and upset their cartload of fresh eggs, and that caused another cart to shed 30 churns of milk. So, what do you think of this as a headline?"
She held up a piece of paper on which she'd written, "City's Biggest Cake Mix-Up." William looked at it.
Yes, somehow it had everything. The sad attempt at humour was exactly right. It was just the sort of thing that would cause much mirth around Mrs. Arcanum's table.
"Lose the second exclamation mark," he said. "Otherwise, I think it's perfect. How did you hear about it?"
"Oh, Constable Fiddiment dropped in and told me," said Saccharissa.
She looked down and shuffled papers unnecessarily.
"I think he's a bit sweet on me, to tell you the truth."
A tiny, hitherto unregarded bit of William's ego instantly froze solid. An awful lot of young men seemed